Equip us for every attack, that we may stand firm with you. Amen. How long does it take you to get dressed in the morning? A survey of Americans showed that the average time that it takes for an American person to get ready in the morning, or rather to get dressed in the morning, get your number in your head, get a guess, 17 minutes. Now to me, that seems like a long time. Right? What do you need? You need something on the top, something on the bottom, something on your feet, and you're good to go, right? Why does that take 17 minutes? I just take what's on the top of your dresser, if next up in the closet, right? But then, I mean, you start thinking about it, and you say, okay, well, it's not just put something on. When you're getting dressed, you're actually planning. You're thinking about the day that you're expecting to have, right? You're thinking about, okay, am I going to be inside or outside today? Am I going to be digging in the dirt or sitting at an office or at a desk in the office? And who am I going to be with today? What's socially acceptable for the situations I'm going to find myself in? Is it hot or cold? Right. All these things figure into the clothes that we wear on any given day. And so maybe I can be a little more charitable. It's not totally ridiculous to spend 17 minutes getting dressed. Maybe that includes some research on the weather app and all that sort of things, too. The principle, though, is this. That we dress for the day that we're expecting to have. Right? And so it's no surprise that as we dive into God's Word and we discover that God wants to clothe us, to put us in an outfit, that he is doing the same. Thing is, though, he's not dressing us for our life in flannel and sweatpants. He's also not telling us to get dressed to the nines in a tux and a floor-length dress. He's not even dressing us in Carhartts and work boots. No, God is dressing us for the life he knows we're going to have. And so he says, put on the full armor of God. God tells us this. God tells us to put on armor because he knows that the life of a Christian, the life of a disciple of Jesus, is going to be a life at war. A life of battles, again and again and again. And he wants you to be ready. He wants you to be equipped. He wants you to have everything you need so that you stand firm in the battle. Seems like Christians are fighting a lot of battles these days, right? Battles over morality in our society, battles over our culture and the seeming waning influence of Christianity in it. There are political battles that Christians get embroiled in over this policy and that law, but none of those are the battles that God is talking about here. He doesn't send Christians out. Jesus doesn't call Christians to follow him into battle against governmental or philosophical opponents. No, he prepares you for an enemy that is far sneakier, far more powerful, and far more dangerous. Here he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See, you are caught between the forces of good and the forces of evil. You are caught between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. And it is so, so important that you realize that, friends. You see, the enemy wants nothing more than for Christians to forget the battle that they're fighting. In fact, I'd say that's probably one of his favorite evil schemes, to get us so embroiled and so obsessed with political and cultural battles that we forget that the real enemy is after something more than just the crumbling of society. If we forget that the devil's main goal is winning people away from God for hell, we can very easily find ourselves setting up our defenses against one thing by leaving ourselves completely vulnerable to the real and present threat. That's what the devil wants, ultimately, is to separate you and every other human being he can get his claws into from God for eternity. He wants it for people inside and outside Christianity. He wants it for people inside and outside our country. He wants it for people that you know and love, young and old, and he wants it for you. Here's the thing. He doesn't have you. Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." See, you are not in Satan's clutches. You are in the Lord. Jesus has claimed you as his own. He has called you in baptism. He's created faith in your heart through the gospel. He's enlisted you on his side of the fight to stand firm against Satan's attacks. And because that is true, all of God's power is lined up on your side of the fight. So Paul calls on us, urges us, trust in him, rely on him, be strong in the Lord. Because ultimately, the Lord's strength is just too much for the devil. Our Savior God's strength has already crushed him completely under his nail-pierced feet. The victory is won. Ever since the cross, sin has been defanged. Death has been turned temporary. Jesus has claimed the throne over all things and thrown the devil down. And those found within his kingdom need never again fear Satan's threats, his accusations, his raging. See, the devil has no say in the eternity of those who stand with Jesus in faith. And the devil knows it. But that doesn't mean that he's going to leave us alone. Right? He's already failed to oppose Jesus' power to save outright. And so now he works at it from a different angle. He works to lure God's people away from Jesus' power to save. He plots. He unleashes strategic attacks. He puts pressure on you and on your faith to try and win you away from God. And even though Jesus' strength for us will never fail, there isn't a single day we're not in danger. And the reason for that is because there's a traitor at work. A traitor in each of our hearts. See, we're all born with a sinful nature. That sinful nature, you know what it's like. Even though you're a Christian who knows that what your God has done for you, there's still that part of you, isn't there? It seems to like the devil's schemes a little more. It's that part of you that steers you towards temptations instead of away from them. It's your embarrassment to live by faith outside of a safe space like this church. It's the thing, the sinful nature, the thing that gets you so invested in earthly conflicts that you hardly even realize that you are spiritually under attack. That sinful nature works together with Satan to make us vulnerable. And with the side door of our hearts standing wide open, Satan's attacks threaten to sweep us away. If we stand on our own, we have no chance. But we don't stand alone. See, Jesus doesn't just give us access to his mighty power. He doesn't just stand back and watch us try to wield it like, like someone that's got a sword too big and too heavy for him. No, he himself stands with us and fights alongside us. And remember, this is the same Jesus we saw in our gospel for today. Right? In the Gospel of Mark, we saw how Jesus' own disciples were confronted with a spiritual evil force that was too much for them. And what did Jesus do? Jesus stepped in and he drove out the demon with a word. Where we are totally outmatched in this fight, Jesus totally overmatches the devil. He proved his power when he rose from the dead. Right? Not even Satan's strongest weapon, death, could keep him held down. And that's the one who is on our side in the fight. So when that guy, when Jesus tells you this is what you need for the battle ahead, we should probably listen, shouldn't we? We should pay attention to what he gives us. And we should realize that this isn't just any armor. Not just some extra suit that he pulled out of the closet because nobody was using it at the time. No. This armor of God is exactly what it says. The armor of God. This is God's own armor with which he equips himself when he goes out to fight and win the victory for his people. Let me explain. It's kind of a weird concept. Throughout the Old Testament, one of the favorite pictures of many Old Testament writers for God was that of the mighty warrior who goes out to fight for his people and win the victory for them. When God rescued his Old Testament people from slavery in Egypt, he brought them out of slavery on the heels of 10 plagues and across the Red Sea where he swept away the Egyptian army that pursued them. Looking back on their salvation, Moses led the people in singing a song that held as its central proclamation, "The Lord is a mighty warrior," and he just won the battle for us. The King David, who was himself a mighty warrior, who had seen a lot of battles and won a lot of victories, that was one of his favorite pictures to use for the Lord when he wrote the Psalms, or many of the Psalms. Comes up again and again and again. And one of the favorite names for God throughout the Old Testament was, brace yourselves for some Hebrew, Adonai Tzevaot, which means, don't worry, I won't leave you hanging, it means Lord of hosts, or Lord of angel armies. Throughout the Old Testament, as God goes out to fight the battle for his people, we hear references to the armor that he dons as he goes out to that work. And guess what? The armor that the Lord wears, that he is described as wearing there, is the same armor that he gives to you and me. He gives us the belt of truth strapped around our waist. He gives us the breastplate of righteousness, Christ's righteousness, we know now, to guard our hearts. He fits our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. He gives us the shield of faith so we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He sets on our heads the helmet of salvation and puts in our mouths and in our hands the sword of the Spirit that is the word of God. This is the armor that the Lord used to win the victory over sin, death, hell, and Satan for you. And now, he gives it to you. This is what will allow you to withstand the attacks of your great spiritual enemy. This is what will give you the power and the strength to take everything that life throws at you and to stand firm nonetheless. God equips you with his full armor. So that no matter how powerful Satan's attacks may be, you will stand victorious in him. So how do we put this armor on? Where do we go to receive the truth and the righteousness that God has and gives? How are we made ready for attacks and opportunities that may present themselves? what is the thing by which God strengthens our faith and saves us out of a decaying world for eternal life with him? What is the weapon that he gives us to use to cut through Satan's lies by which he has trapped people in our lives and all around us? What is it? Nothing other than the Word of God. If you want to stand against the devil's attacks, it is critical that you be in God's Word. The battle we fight is a lifelong battle. So the full armor of God is an armor that you and I need to strap on every single day so that we are ready to stand firm with Jesus amidst the attacks we will face. So don't fall into the devil's lie that intentional spiritual growth ends after intentional spiritual growth programs wrap up. Right? Don't fall into the devil's lie that spiritual growth is done after you're done with Sunday school or after you're done with confirmation class. Right? After all, you wouldn't go to the bins in the basement, and I don't know if anybody has this still around, but dig out the bin that still has the clothes that you wore in eighth grade and try to put those clothes on today. You wouldn't do that, right? Because they wouldn't fit your life. They wouldn't fit your body most likely, right? Same way, you wouldn't go and dig up your peewee football pads to kind of dust off and put back on and fit yourself out if you're going to go and play college ball. They won't protect you. They'll leave you vulnerable, won't they? And so, why would you be okay with calling your Christian education complete after you're 14? Valid question? Right? Why would you want to wear the faith that the armor of God fitted for a child when you face an adult life and the attacks of the devil against an adult Christian? Well, the battle rages every day, friends. So put on the full armor of God every day. Read God's Word. And ask your pastor, when you have something that comes up that you just don't get, like, what in the world is this all about? That's what your pastor's here for, to help you strap on the full armor of God, to help you understand it, to help you bolster your defenses against the devil and his attacks. Wrestle and struggle over applying God's Word to yourself. It's hard work, but it is worthwhile. Tighten the straps. Tailor the fit of God's armor with familiarity and understanding. Do it here at church in Bible studies. We've got a new one starting today. Come join us. Do it along with friends and family. Just commit time to God's Word, and the Holy Spirit will make you strong to stand. So Christians, of all ages, put on the full armor of God. Your Savior Jesus has won the victory. He gives it to you freely. You receive it by faith. The fight isn't over. Every day, take what he gives you so that you can stand firm. With his gospel message and his powerful word, you are well equipped to face every attack, so that after you have done everything, you will stand with your Savior in heaven.